If you keep teaching this one and then people will pay for the tuition every month, what else can you get from them so that they would end up paying for a little bit more so that you can buy something for your family? So my mom told my dad, I wanted to give testing for our niece, for modern our niece. So every 3 months or every 2 months, he would, my dad would give testing to students. And eventually after testing, they become black belts. And my mom was the one who really, I would say, opened the art for the belting and Filipino martial art. Mm-hmm. The level of belts that one could get, it came from Mother Ernest, because in Balintawak, you're either the maestro or you're a student. Mm-hmm. In between, there's no such thing as belting and testing during those times. So my mom ended up doing all of this, and eventually, my dad had become so successful in the Philippines, and then when he moved out in the Philippines in 1976, he never went back to the Philippines up until 1986. Mm-hmm. 86, because in 86 I was defending my thesis during those times. So she went back, and he even went to when I was defending my thesis in one of the universities in Manila. So he went there and he saw me, and I did not even know during those time how famous he was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you were still in the Philippines when your parents were in the U.S.
Yeah. I migrated from the Philippines only in 1993.
Oh, okay.
I see. Very recently, 1993. Mm-hmm.
What about the rest of your brothers and sisters?
All my sisters and brothers are all based in the U.S.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the Bay Area, so I could enjoy the weather a little bit, not as bad as you guys down there in Chicago.
it's cold right now, actually. Yes.
It's San Francisco. It's about, I would say, about 70 right now.
Wow, nice.
We're jealous.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Okay, so, eventually, my dad was able to tie up with Wally J from the Sports Circle Jiu-Jitsu,
sure.
And then with George Dillman. Mm-hmm. And eventually they were able to tie up the knot, and then eventually have their group is known as the Big Three. So, and prior to this, I would say that one of the greatest contribution made by my dad, in the U.S. was the concept of the cross-training of different fields in martial art. Mm-hmm. Because during those time in the early, in the 70s and 80s, when you are just in Taekwondo, in your Kung Fu, you're in Karate, you don't go and train with Filipino martial art or any other types of martial art, mm-hmm. I would say. You just stick with Karate or with Kung Fu or with the Taekwondo or any martial arts that you do. And it was my dad who opened the door for the cross-training of different martial art, and then cross train with other systems, just like Filipino martial art. Hmm. And this is one of the reason why the Filipino martial art has become so popular nowadays, because of that barrier that my dad was able to break in. Mm-hmm. by tying up with George Stillman and then Wally J. They were able to get a lot of people from different fields of martial art to attend their seminars, and eventually were able to be influential in the upliftment of the whole martial art world in the U.S. and even in Europe. Mm-hmm. And he was the one who opened the door for the other Filipino martial art instructor to be able to penetrate the market. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Priestess, so did your father introduce some of the Filipino grappling to Wally J?
No. He had some background in the Dumog Tik-Tik. In the Philippines, we call that Dumog. We never call it grappling. Mm-hmm. Grappling is a Western term, we called it in the Philippines, we call that Dumog.
Sure.
He had some background in Dumog because he went to Butuan. Butuan is the southern part of the Philippines that, most of these kids would you know, most of the grown up or most of the kids, the first martial art training that they would do is this is known down there as a sport, the dumog. Mm-hmm. So he had some background in dumog and in the Filipino martial art, and he went to a couple of different instructors in Filipino martial art in the Philippines, and after studying from all of those best martial art instructors in the Philippines, he decided to form his own system, and he called this Modern Anis. Mm-hmm. That's why when you watch Aibalin Tawak, when they do the boxing drill in Balintawak, you could see that one in the tapi-tapi or the sparring in Modern Anis. Mm-hmm. In fact, there is a famous grandmaster in Balintawak. He's a good friend of my dad, Bobby Tabuada. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a talk with Grandmaster Tabuada because last year, 2008, we have a seminar together in Baltimore with Grandmaster Leo Gahi and Bobby Tabuada and myself. Mm-hmm. And he told me a story that my dad would work out with Bobby Tabuada, and then my dad would say, "This is the technique of Ub Mungkal." Mungkal is one of the master in Balintawak, one of the maestro in Balintawak, and he would change it, and then he would say that this is now the style of Anshun Pakon, or this is the style of Bilasin, Atori Bilasin, and mm-hmm. both of their great names in Balintawak. Because mm-hmm. my dad, I would say, he could be considered as one of the walking encyclopedia of Filipino martial art, and he could still practice that one. Mm-hmm. And, the only thing that he doesn't really want to practice so much is, the hurting of anybody. Because he went through so much in his training heyday that he beat a lot of people, and he ended up, demolishing a lot of people while he was training. He said that when I become a teacher, I want to be a good teacher, and I don't want to be people that will hurt another one. In fact, very, very few that you come across with, it's just like two concept teacher. You either is a good teacher or you're a good fighter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in Filipino martial art, you cannot be both of them at the same time. In general.
Why is that?
Because sometimes if you're a good teacher, you're not a good fighter. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you're a good fighter, you're not a good teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm not generalizing it, you know. I'm just saying this, just a saying in the Philippines. And in the case of my dad, he's a good teacher because he could really relate topics to anybody, and then he's a good fighter. And during our, you know, I could still remember it in Manila. In the nowadays, it doesn't happen anymore. But, you know, in Manila, if you any parts of the Philippines when you're going to open a school in martial art, you know, you better be prepared, because people would go to your school and challenge you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that still going on today?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't happen nowadays. I haven't hear anything about that nowadays. But during my time, I could still remember it in the 70s. Often, about twice or three times a month, people would go to our school and they would challenge my dad for a fight.
Mm-hmm. And were these not necessarily Filipino martial artists? They could have been.
These are some of them are loony, or some of them are crazy.
Oh, really?
Some of them are not so crazy, but they believe that they really are so good that they could beat you up. But the thing is, if somebody beat you up, it means that you have to close your school and study their art. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, when somebody goes to our school, they would because our school is at the second floor, they would end up going home limping. They could not walk in their 2 feet. Mm-hmm. Because my dad would just watch you. The first move that he would just, the first move that he would do, he would just watch you, and then he would hit you so hard that you would not see the stick coming in. Mm-hmm. And once it hit you, that's it. It's over. Mm-hmm. You know, and my dad is so good with that one because of all the fights that he went before. he's one of those that I would say that was unbeaten in any of the competition that he ended up, any of the challenges that he went into and fight with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why he became so famous, and eventually he went out to the Philippines because of that.
Hmm.
So this is now the part of the history of modernism that you have hear it from the very source of the art.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So often, you know, sometimes I would end up laughing when I would read some article about modernism, and I said that they don't know about what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them would just copy from somebody else, and those people end up, they would end up just making up stories that did not even research. Even some of the books I would not name, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy who often write a book in Filipino martial art,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I am not saying any word, you know, I'm not saying any name, but I tell you most of those things that he wrote on regarding modernism is not true.
Is he even Filipino?
He's not a Filipino, he's an American.
Oh, and then he's an authority.
All of a sudden he become, let's say, he become a master, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe he could become now as the grandmaster. Remember that, you know, that in our family,
mm-hmm.
This is what's taught to us before by my dad.
Mm-hmm.
You will not become a grandmaster of the art.
Mm-hmm.
Not unless you had invented the art.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're the one who propagated the art, and your peer had recognized you on your field.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the way to become a grandmaster.
So, and, Dr. Priestess, how do you feel being the eldest son, you know, in terms of carrying the legacy of your father's art?
That's the most difficult part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The most difficult part of it is how to add more on to whatever had been started in modernism. You know, to be frank with you, sometimes when I go to seminars, people who don't know me, if I go to a seminar, and, you know, the general attitude to people is that I have attended about 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 seminars from the grandmaster himself.
Mm-hmm.
What can I learn from you?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't learned from the grandmaster. And because of this, I made the research in modernism. I made a lot of research, and I made a lot of soul searching about the topics that I need to cover for modernism. So I end up introducing the dulo dulo. Dulo dulo is a palm stick, you know. The palm stick in modernism, it was not really covered by my dad before.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I end up covering the bisodario. Bisodario is a type of locks, counters against counters against counters. They could be done empty hand. They could be done with sticks. They could be done with spada y daga. And then after that, I end up doing the joint locks.
Mm-hmm.
When I would say joint locks, there's a technique that I usually do that whenever I do the locks for empty hand, in the jiu-jitsu, whenever they would do the joint lock, they lock it using the one hand. When I do the joint lock, I usually do the two-hand joint locks. So this is something new in modernism. And then after that, I had introduced the dumog. You know,
mm-hmm.
I am now into the dumog, and while I have the dumog, I also incorporated the sikaran.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and sikaran part of modernism. Mm-hmm. The sikaran or part of modernism, this is the use of kicking.
Mm-hmm.
When I say kicking, it does not kick. That's like a taekwondo.
Mm-hmm.
Kick like a Filipino.
Yeah,
Filipino are not big; they're not tall. So when they kick, they just kick along the waistline.
Mm-hmm.
Those kicks are really not so, you know, when I do techniques in modernism, I now involve myself with the concept of the finessing of the art.
Mm-hmm.
You take the technique not on the strength of your opponent, but rather on the weakness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually do it that way. So you're basically releasing less energy compared with the energy of your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of this I have been doing because I always believe that after the death of my dad in August of 2001, I do believe that the art of modernity is still growing.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who thought that modernity had stopped growing and it stopped the progression in 2001, they're making a big mistake. And some of the instructors in modernity, they end up studying Balintawak because they thought that since the death of my dad, there's nothing to be added on modernity.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they are mistaken. Because in modernism, that's why this is known as modern, the concept of modernism, the art within your art.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And when I do presentation in modernism, I make sure that this has some link within the past topic that was covered by my dad before. Just like the Dumog or the grappling, he had some video before, and then just like the Sikaran, he had some video before. So what I did was, introducing new technique out of the topics that you covered before, because usually I have a lot of video from him, you know, way back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. So I could watch them, and sometimes I ask people who happen to tape some of his seminar before in the 70s, 80s, and 90s to, you know, spare me a copy of the video that they were able to tape during those time.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I could watch them, and I can put them on my library, and then I could watch it, and then eventually I could add more topics on the topics that was covered before.
Mm-hmm. So you feel that you're continuing your father's work by not only furthering modern Arnis in terms of its technique, but really helping to propagate it and finishing the work, the advancement of the art that your father couldn't finish, in other words.
Yeah, the most difficult part down the topic is how to finesse the techniques that everybody have learned. Because everybody thought that the beginning of Arnis, modern Arnis, started with tapi-tapi and end up with tapi-tapi. Not so. Because tapi-tapi is just one of the branch of modern Arnis.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And for me, if you ask me bluntly like this, is there such thing as master of tapi-tapi? I would say there's no such thing as master of sinawale.
Mm. Mm.
Because for me, tapi-tapi is just one branch of modern Arnis. And if you want to be a master, you need to be a master of the art, not a master of the part of the art.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes I come across with those people that they call themselves master of Bao. I could even give you the title of master of Bao if you want to.
Master of what?
Master of Bowing.
Oh, master of Bowing. Okay. Master of Salutation.
You know, and the problem with modernists nowadays, sometimes, you know, people don't want to go to advancement in modernists once they get their black belts,
mm-hmm.
which is really bad, because for me, I do believe that the first stages after you get your black belt in modernists is the Lacan belt. This is the way that you would start your training. After you get that black belt or Lacan belt,
mm-hmm.
because this is the stage in which you'll be exploring and eventually you'll be teaching. But if you stop learning about advancement in modernism, where do you go after this?
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of people had moved to Balintawak.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why my dad had moved away from Balintawak is because he thought that. This is what he told me before, okay? The reason why he moved away from Balintawak, he find Balintawak as a close art.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying Balintawak is bad, no. Balintawak is really good. in terms of this application and in terms of the delivery of the technique. It's one of the best, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad believes that Balintawak is a close art. If you want to progress into another level of martial art, you need to study some more from the other.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing there is you need first to finish your studies. Mm-hmm. You cannot keep on jumping from so many fields in Filipino martial art. And then eventually, at the end of the day, get confused.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the thing.
Absolutely.
How many people have seen that they're studying so many systems at the same time? At the end of the day, when they become teacher, they end up getting confused because they don't know what they're teaching anymore. I, for one, in Modernese, I'm the first student of Modernese. I was forced to study Modernese before. And it is not really good when your teacher is your dad, because he doesn't give you any benefit of being laxity, because he's a perfectionist.
Sure.
And because of that, he would really he's a really hard temper guy whenever he would teach. And the only thing that he told me before is that I don't want you to study any other system in Filipino martial art. I want you to concentrate on Modernist because this is our very own.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And I thought then that, you know what? How about if I like that way, I want to study it? I said, no, you're not studying it because this is our family art. You need to study this because this came from our family.
Mm-hmm. So did all your brothers and sisters also...
Yeah, they used to, but all of them have decided to give up. I'm the only one left behind.
Oh, okay. I see.
I'm the only one that left behind, and I guess I'm got stuck with this one.
So that's even more pressure.
So
now.
I did not really regret doing this because I have met a lot of people who happen to have influence on my that has been influenced by my dad before, and I fortunate enough to meet them in person and told me about stories about how their life had been changed because of my dad,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I even come across with people who happened to be, who had known my dad in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
even in the 80s, and even in the 90s, and, you know, I'm so happy to meet them and then get acquainted with them, and often when I go out for seminars, you know, I don't stay at the hotels. I stay on the houses of people that I know,
mm-hmm.
because you know, once you would study Modernese, you're not only studying Modernese and that's it. You're becoming a member of my extended family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is how we treat people who are a member of Modernese.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any more questions?
I do have a question, Dr. Priestess. You were saying how some of the students would get their black belt in Modern Arnis and basically stop. So how would that be in terms of when they pass it on to their students, then that kind of limits their students as well?
Again, you go to the definition of how good a teacher is.
Yeah.
You know, and I, for one, you know, the reason why I could just keep on going in Modernese, because the first thing that I introduced in Modernese when I start the seminars way back in 2002 was introduction of all the different classicals.
Mm-hmm.
Because classicals in the context of Modernese will never really been covered so much.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first topic that I covered before. After covering the classical aspect of the art, I move into the combative aspect. And then I'm on that stage, and then I'm now on the stage of the finessing of the art. It's not how, you know, because my dad would often say it like this: I will let you swing the stick, I'll tell you how good you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when you swing the stick, this is the measurement of how good one is in terms of what you do. The problem with not all of them, and some of the instructors in Modernese is, you know, they have they thought that they know everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because of this, sometimes it hinders the students.
Mm-hmm.
A best example of this is, I wouldn't say anything at all after this. I would say that you go to YouTube, open the go to type their Modernese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And after typing that one, look at the different people who posted the video on Modernist. And make your conclusion.
Okay.
You know, and somewhat, you know, because I, for one, I really have a high expectation. My dad would often say this before, and then I have been saying this now. There is only one way. That's my way.
Mm-hmm.
My dad often said that to me before when I was arguing with him. I did not, you know, and then when he passed away, and then I end up doing the seminars, end up saying that same thing now.
Mm-hmm.
It's only one way. That's my way.
Okay, Dr. Priestess, I got a couple quick questions, and maybe I think this will also help out with just explanation on where Modern Arnis is at now. For one, I'd like to know, is there still a Modern Arnis school in the Philippines that is associated with you? And is Modern Arnis still being taught in the school system, in the educational system?
Both questions say yes. There's a couple of schools in the Philippines which run Modernist. But I would say the most authentic one, when I say authentic, okay, the first guy who went to our school, who had grown up in Modernist, it's run by Roger Dagok.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the other ones who are now doing Modernist, they just jump in on Modernist, but they did not really start with Modernist.
Mm.
Okay, they just jump in. And then second question is, yes, the PE that being offered, you know, physical education courses being offered in secondary, the high school and the college, it's being taught, I want to say not really Modernist per se, all by itself, but he's being taught Arnis.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Most of this, the only school book that is sanctioned by the Department of Education and Culture and Sports in the Philippines, certified by it, it's Modernist.
Mm-hmm.
But it's being taught by so many. In fact, the best example is, again, you go back to YouTube and then you would see a lot of kids in PE uniform practicing Arnis and in the Philippines. So it's, you know, it's becoming famous. It was the irony when my dad passed away in 2001 that it blossomed in the Philippines. You know, what was ironic was, you know, when my dad would go to the Philippines, one time he went to the Philippines, and my dad don't drive, so he does not know how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he goes out to the Philippines, he would ask somebody to pick him up at the airport because he couldn't drive. He don't know how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And one time he went back to the Philippines and he got stuck at the airport and nobody showed up to pick him up.
Why is that?
Because I guess he got forgotten. You know, as he's in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in contrast, when he was still around, he would go to a different state. You know, people were fighting one another who among them were going to pick up my dad at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they are fighting which among them will open the door for him and he will get out from the car and then enter the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the irony between he was treated in the Philippines and then he was treated in the U.S. and Europe and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's given more recognition more by non-Filipinos than by the Filipinos.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the irony of his life.
How about now? Even you know, with the incredible contributions that your father made with the Philippine martial arts, is the Philippines showing any kind of recognition now, or it's still kind of even when he was alive?
Yeah, and in the Philippines, sports and especially martial art. You know, it's sad to say like this. When I was in the Philippines before, you know, about 2 years ago, when I was there 2-3 years ago, you know, I could see people practicing Arnis, Modern Arnis. Some of them would just practice Arnis because they liked Arnis.
Mm-hmm.
But they would not pay for tuition. They want to get it for free.
Mm-hmm.
If you start charging people like that, sometimes they end up dropping out because they have no money
mm-hmm.
to pay for. Here it's different. People are really, really, really could pay for. And often I tell, Rudel, Rudel Dagok, I often tell him like this. People go to you from the U.S., from Europe, or from Australia. I want you to charge them in euro or charge them in dollar or Australian dollar. What they're studying from you, it's not our niece or Moser niece itself. What are they learning from you is your experience in modernis. As the first generation Arnis practitioner, just like myself. You know, that's the thing. That's the big difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that one would get involved with. Usually, I often say this, that I encourage everybody to pick up any other Filipino martial art. Any other Filipino martial art are good by itself. Garling is Dos Pares, it's Sirata Escrima from Vincent Cabales, or from Dos Pares with from the Johnny Cañete, or from Kakuy Cañete. Any Filipino martial art, all of it are the same. It's just good. The only difference is that one is the approach and the presentation, and the passion. You know, passion coming from just like me. I'm a Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best guy to study the cultures and arts of the country from the people itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying that if you're non-Filipino, you're not good. You know, no way. You know, but I'm saying that it has more passion. It's much more, you know, intimate in terms of the training. If you would go to a Pinoy,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you go to a Pinoy because the Pinoy can show you just like me. Whenever I teach someone, I discuss about the history of the topics where it came from or the history of the Philippines because I want them to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that there are two kinds of Filipinos. Okay. One is by birth and then by choice.
Mm.
There's people who are by birth that you cannot dispense with, that you were born because of your parents were Filipinos or one of your parents is Filipinos.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a second sentence. The second one is Filipino by choice.
Mm.
Those people who eventually pick up Filipino martial art, not Filipinos who become Filipinos because of the love of the art.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say thank you so much for everybody who decided to pick up the stick and eventually end up studying Filipino martial art.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would say that there are more Filipinos in terms of the passion, in terms of wanting to learn.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, between the Philippines and in the U.S., did you know that there's more non-Filipinos studying the art?
Oh, yes. Exactly. I mean, there's Filipinos here or outside of the Philippines that don't even know we have a martial art.
Yes, that's
you
what
know,
I was saying.
Yes.
Which is kind of it's sad.
It's ironic.
Mm-hmm.
I even have one of my instructors in Davenport, Iowa. His name is Rick Bilando.
Mm-hmm.
He left the Philippines. He was about 10 or 12 or 13 years old. He's now on his 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's been doing the Shotokan Karate for almost 30 years,
mm-hmm.
30 to 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he discovered modernese. And he said that, I don't want to teach karate anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I want to concentrate on modernese because this is my very own art. I did not even know that we have this Filipino martial art before. And he could not even speak Tagalog.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay.
But he's learning how to speak Tagalog because of the love of the art. And, I say that, good. There are even a bunch of our kababayan that don't even know that we have our Filipino martial art.
Yeah. And I...
And they would...
I mean, for me personally, I started out, with other martial arts, Taekwondo and Shotokan and everything like that. And, you know, found out later in life also about Filipino martial arts and...
You know, did you fall in love?
I absolutely. I think the Filipino martial arts is one of the most beautiful martial arts, as well as, you know, effective and deadly. That's a given.
But it's also, yeah, when I see it, it's
I
just so beautiful.
I have a definition of Filipino martial art. Filipino martial art is the encyclopedia of all martial art.
Mm.
When I say encyclopedia of the martial art, if you see karate, you only show you how to kick and you punch.
Mm-hmm.
If you study taekwondo, you only show you how to punch and kick.
Mm-hmm.
You study jiu-jitsu, flopping, locking, and takedown.
Mm-hmm.
But if you study Filipino martial art, it studies everything. All the field of other martial art are covered into one, which is the Filipino martial art.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it becomes so popular that a lot of people are really interested in it nowadays.
And, you know, we're starting to see the popularity of the Philippine martial arts too, especially in like Hollywood movies.
Uh-huh.
It's been featured as the martial art. And do you feel that the Philippine martial arts will someday have the recognition that some of the other martial arts have, like the Japanese arts?
The good things of Filipino martial art is its versatility.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the military service, you know, the training for military, you come across with people doing Filipino martial art.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine, I cannot name his name. He teaches at the Navy SEAL. You know what martial art they do?
Filipino martial arts. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a friend of mine in Fort Lewis, Washington. He teaches what he teaches at the Special Forces, First Special Forces Regiment, mm-hmm. down in Fort Lewis, Modern Anise.
Also, I know a lot of law enforcement,
law enforcement and a lot SWAT. Of people like that. Because of the in-depth topics that cover with the Filipino martial art. Not only in Modern Anise, I could say in general.
Mm-hmm.
No, in general. That's why often I would say that any forms of Filipino martial art, the one we do decided to pick up, not incidentally Modern Anise, every system has its own beauty,
mm-hmm.
and every system has its own uniqueness. But one is not better compared with the other. I don't do that. I don't make comparison.
Yeah.
I can only speak about my art, Modern Anise.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have a tie-up with the Grandmaster Vincent Cabales of Sirada Eskrima. And then I have a tie-up with the Doce Pares, with Grandmaster Fred Bandalan. And, you know, often we do seminars sometimes, and I have high marks for the other system. So I don't want to see other system the way you feel it. You try to be demeaning in terms of what does they do, and it's not that good. With Filipino martial art, you should be respectful with other arts.
Yes, exactly.
And
that's one of our visions, because, you know, we're not here to, you know, side with one and not side with the other. I mean, we're here to help promote the Philippine martial arts.
Indeed.
Yes.
That's the most important thing, though.
Exactly.
The promotion of the Philippine arts and culture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
And
here.
Sometimes you come across it, people don't even know where Philippine is.
Yeah,
that happened to me too. That's happened to me before, but truly here at the...
Okay, see, there you go. You know, I was even surprised, though. You know, I went to last year, I went to Poland. And when I went to Poland, you know what they're doing? They're doing Modern Anise.
But I mean, even outside of the United States, Modern Anise is all over the world.
It's huge.
It's all over the world. Just like Doce Pares, Balintawak, and Modern Anise. It's just like any other, you know, Kali, you know, something like that. All of it, the Kali interesting one, the other. Everybody has become so you know, has become now has blossomed. It has blossomed because of the help done by the modernists, by my dad. And, you know, I was trying to fill in a really big shoes on that when he passed away. And, you know, if you ask me, I would say 9 years ago, if I'll do modernists, you know, I would tell you no.
Speaking of your credentials, did you ever think about a political career in the Philippines?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And for me, the love of, you know, just like you got a new conversion of new religion. This is the, you know, if one has a religion, you got converted when you study Filipino martial art. That's the thing for me, you know.
Sure.
Because if you ask 10 years ago, 9 years ago, I said no, definitely not. And I end up picking up all the pieces from my dad because I could not say anything about what happened to him, you know, during his time that he was sick. And I only promised him one thing, that I'll try and promote Modernese.
Mm-hmm.
Promise him, he was bedridden during those times, that I promise him like this, because remember that for those who are not Filipinos, when you make promise to somebody who's dying, you have to keep it up.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. I think that's the hardest promise that I made to my dad, is that I promise you that I'll do my best to promote whatever you have started. And it's now almost 9 years now when he passed away. I'm still here. I'm still promoting the art. And if you're interested to help me out, propagate Modernist, you can get in touch with me by going to my website. It's modernist.com. Or if you can help me out more, you can go and buy my instructional DVDs in Modernist.
Okay. And usually that's also on your website too? That's available on your website?
It's on my website.
Okay.
And you know, you would see the changes that I made in Filipino martial art and in Modernist, because I know that that most of the concentration of Modernist before, it deals with a lot of people where just like anybody, they just ask for advancement. Some of the instructors, and I'm not saying not all, but some of the instructors in Modernist, they don't have the basic foundation of the art.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have the good foundation of the art, the strength of the building that you're trying to build up, it lies with the foundation.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say to those instructors to continue their learning? The ones that stopped, and you know, what would you say to them?
I would say that they need to get advancement with the art if they're interested to become more proficient in terms of Modernist or in terms of any other field.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you go to Doce Pares,
mm-hmm.
you go to Johnny Cañete.
Mm-hmm.
Often when they go to Johnny Cañete's, GM Johnny Cañete seminar, he does not repeat the same things
mm-hmm.
over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
There are always changes in the topics that you acquire with.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where most of the changes take place.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get advancement for every field that you are. And, you should open your eyes for new endeavors.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's a lifelong learning. Yes. The way I see it.
Yes, indeed. Because,
always,
you know, when you study Filipino martial art in general, this is very similar with infinity.
Mm-hmm.
You only start with the beginning of it, but there's no ending for this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lifelong.
Because it keeps on mutating from one stage to another one.
Mm-hmm,
that's the concept of Filipino martial art. And I would encourage everybody to go and enroll with any Filipino martial art schools.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They can go and enroll with and enjoy the atmosphere of learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing. Because if you don't enjoy what you do, it's just useless.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's the thing. For me, every seminar that I go through, I almost knew everybody. And if I don't know them, I want to know them.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I invited them to become an extended family member of mine. And for me, it's just, you know, and there's some even kids that was born in Modernist. I even call them, just like me, I'm a Modernist baby. And, you know, and I'm happy with that one. I'm happy with that one.
Sure.
Okay,
and
great.
I say that go and search out things that you want to study, and then when you study the art, don't study a multiple art at the same time. Finish one art, and as soon as you're done with the other art, move along and get another one if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And on my case, I studied first my modernist. I was the first boy in the family, so I was compelled with, I was acquired with, and then I was the first black belt in modernist, and I did not know any other system other than this.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that I one of those that are, you know, I'm one of the purest of the pure.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the training that I got from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, I end up, you know, I have a very high expectation on people that I see on my seminars and people that I come to my school. I have a school, and, you know, I have school in here in San Pablo. This is next to San Francisco, next to Oakland.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have only about six students enrolled on me. And the six students of my, all of them are black belt with other fields.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been coming in for me for a number of years.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we're so happy for that one.
Well, Dr. Priestess, do you have any parting words that you'd like to say to the FMA community?
The parting word that I would study is FMA is one of the best martial arts in the world, and I would encourage everybody, you know, regardless where you are, look for a yellow page or go to the internet and type in Filipino martial art where you are, and enjoy the system of FMA regardless of what style it is. Everybody are good by itself, and there's no better or worst system,
mm-hmm,
in terms of Filipino martial art. And the more you make a research, the better understanding you are going to have in terms of the Filipino martial art in general. Because once you study Filipino martial art, you're not only studying martial art by itself, but you're also studying the Philippine cultures and sports at the same time when you do it. It's like what I do in my class or on my seminars. So much, and good luck for your organization.
Thank you, Dr. Priestess, for interviewing with us. It was very enjoyable.
Okay.